13 minutes after 4 o'clock, hour number two of Bullseye. On the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Busy day today. Busy night tonight for all the trick-or-treaters out there. As of now, it looks like they're going to have to endure some rain along the way as they make that trek to get some candy. And give yourself some extra time going to and from when you leave work today, because when you're in those neighborhoods, you're going to want to make sure you go nice and slow to let those ghouls and goblins get into those homes and get the candy that they so rightfully deserve, right? I mean, you're taking that trick-or-treat trip here pretty soon, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be out there. I'll be in Olmsted Falls, Olmsted Township area doing it. But, I'm looking forward to it. Might be a little soggy, though.
Well, we had a treat last night listening to the Cleveland Cavaliers radio network as the Cavaliers got off the schneid. They won their first game of the season, a 136-114 victory over the Atlanta Hawks. And time now for us to bring in Jim Chomes, color analyst with the Cleveland Cavaliers radio network. And don't forget, when we wrap up our conversation with Jim Chomes, we'll give you the cue to call to win those four tickets to the November 7th Cavaliers Oklahoma City Thunder game. And that will be brought to you by your locally owned and operated North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco at Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate the time. I want to dive right in to that big win yesterday. Jim, what were some of the major differences in last night's game compared to the previous six to start the year?
Well, I from where we sit in the great Joe Tate's perch, we see a lot, and one of the first things we see visually is structure. He challenged them before the game and the day before to do certain things, and you got to remember that one of the things Kobe talked about was player development, and player development in the new NBA is at the top of the list. We're getting players who are so young that think they know how to play our game, and they don't. This is a different game based upon the amount of games you play and the level of competition where everyone was an All-American, an All-Star, or All-State, or All-City. The competition is unbelievable, and a lot of these young guys will be falling between the cracks because of the misconception that they're ready to play. Well, they are ready to move on, but then where do they go? They come to our league. And if we still have the same philosophy about managing young players, they're going to fall, and a lot of people are going to be fired because expectations were not met. So teaching more than coaching, coaching is what to do, and teaching is how to do. And Larry Drew is a teacher. And he's exactly what they need. They need someone to give them direction. Nance, Clarkson, Hood, you've seen the gaps in their game. You've seen some stuff that makes you go, ah, oh, wow. But there's nothing consistent. Somebody needs to tell them what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, and this is what's expected. That's how you teach. And Larry Drew, that's a fundamental thing with him. He's an exceptional teacher, and you could see it last night.
And what you described there partially is what I refer to as the funneling effect, with
yes.
These guys, certainly being great at one level, but then as you graduate to that next level, you certainly start to separate the men from the boys, no doubt about that. Jim, listening to you last night, one of the common things that continued to pop up when discussing new coach Larry Drew was that he's a great communicator. And I
yes.
wanted to give you a chance to kind of expand on that, the importance of that, and how much of that did you see take effect in yesterday's win?
Well, the fundamentals of anything. Do you have children?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have nieces and nephews, and they come by your house? And,
oh, yeah.
And you sit there and you watch them and you say, wow. I don't want that kid. You know what I mean? Because kids, let me tell you about young people. They're craving for knowledge. That's why this is what they call an information society. Their minds are searching and craving for knowledge. It's nutrition for them. And they're just full of action and movement, and they want to understand things. In a world that's moving so fast, so many things are happening, kids are looking for stability of thought. But the only way they can get it is someone has to teach them what's important right now. Give them a foundation to work from so that they can do what they want to do as far as being creative, as far as integrating their experiences into how they want to live or actions or things or decisions that they make. That is fundamental to anything. But one of the things I learned about 20 years ago, I read a book by Bobby Knight, and 90% of his book said that teaching is what coaches should be doing. And in his own way, you know, he swears all the time, anybody can coach, but not everybody can teach. You know, and teaching is a fundamental that is so necessary today for all of our kids, even out of basketball. These kids want to get better. You know, they hire and pay all of these guys to be their trainer and to teach them all these core exercises, and I put up 500 shots, and then they come back through the season and they still have gaps. You know, you spend all of that time, then what's missing? It's the ability to understand how to teach. You know, you have to teach these kids how to play this new game. And the game has changed from 4 years, 3 years ago when we won a championship. The game has changed again. Why? Because they have new rules in that won't allow you to grab and to hold more so than the Curry rule where you couldn't beat up a high-scoring guard. So what's happened is this. Our league is way ahead of all the other leagues as far as progress and as far as being progressive. They do surveys. They call people all over this country to see where their interests are. They look at trends. They hook up with these big marketing companies, you know, and they try to feel out where the pulse of the people is. You know what people want in our game? They like seeing young players. They like having bragging rights. I like this kid. I'm going to watch him. You know, and then all of a sudden, 2 months later, I told you he could play. So there's an interest there created because the kids are young, but they have gaps and they're not able to sustain the positive efforts that are necessary to win. But people can live with that. They also like the speed of the game. They like the high-scoring games. They like a lot of points. You know, we're way ahead of the other sports as far as that. That's why basketball has grown at least 3 to 10% every year for the last 6-7 years. But they also like that, honey, I don't want to spend all evening watching basketball. I want to get out in an hour, 52 hours, and they're gone. They still want to be able to go to the bar and hang out or go have a late dinner after the game. That's why now our game's at 7 o'clock. When I played, our game's at 8 o'clock or 8:30. So there's been a dramatic change into the profile of what a fan wants. And in order to do that, and you're bringing in these young players, you have to teach them how to perform, how to win. You know, people look at Popovich, they call him the best coach. But, he's the best teacher. You've seen him talk to Tim Duncan at timeouts, poke his fingers in the best power forward's face and tell him this and that, and then Tim go out there and make it work. You know, that's how our game has changed. And if you don't understand that, when you're watching NBA basketball, you're missing an unbelievable competitive entertainment vehicle.
Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And I want to stick with that for a moment because Yesterday during the pregame show, you had mentioned that about how the profile of the NBA player has changed as well. And I believe that you said something along the lines of, you know, we don't really have or need the Wes Unselds of the world anymore. But you kind of need those Tracy McGrady's to get out there on the wing and defend and still be able to knock down some shots as well. But, I mean, you had just mentioned how this has really kind of been more of a progressive change. This certainly didn't happen overnight.
No, it didn't.
And when did you start to notice these changes?
Well, I started to notice when I played because I was not strong enough to be a banger. I wasn't strong enough to get 20 rebounds every night like a Wes Unseld or Artis Gilmore or even Kareem, you know, but I had to figure out a way to be competitive. And what did I have as an advantage? I was quick, I was fast, I was tough, and I liked physical play, but I didn't have the body for it. But Bill Fitch knew that. So he said, listen, I can play Jim Jones 28 to 33 minutes a game, and he'll be competitive with anybody. Now, if I play him over that, You know, the downside is he's not strong enough and I'll burn him out for the next game. But Bill played me like that. And it gave me an advantage, which helped our team win. You know, one of the things is this. If you listen to Larry Drew's comments last night, I thought they were unbelievable. I mean, he is so calm and so together. They mentioned how well Rodney Hood had played. A season high, 26 points, you know, the most he's ever scored as a Cavalier. And he looked comfortable. And someone, and then they said, what happened? He said, listen, he said, Rodney Hood is a passive person by nature. And what we have to do is make him aggressive when he hits the floor. When he's aggressive, he can compete with anybody and score with anybody. You see where I'm going with this?
Yes.
You just don't label a guy. Hey, look, I guarded Moses Malone. I guarded anybody who was physical, I had to guard him because Kareem couldn't guard him. Why? Because he didn't handle that physical play well at all. You know, it got to him. So I had to guard all of those guys. And what it allowed him to do, what, is the freedom to keep his strength and his composure and his confidence so that he could throw that hook on you enough to get 28, 30 rebounds. Now, what did he do for me? And he appreciated it. He would make sure I got 2 to 3 baskets a game underneath, you know, because he was a great passer. See, that's what happens in our game. You know, there's so many critics. You know, you listen to ESPN and all these other stations, and everybody's criticizing players. But what they're leaving out is the importance that this is just like business. If you have a guy that drinks too much, but he's number one in sales, you got to figure out a way to minimize his drinking so that he can continue to produce. And that's the real world. And so that's the way our game is now. Everybody has shortcomings and strengths. What we have to do is find out how can we accentuate what they do best, and that'll help us win. And that's where this guy is so good. You know, I thought that comment on the Rodney Hood, it was not a condemnation of Rodney Hood, but what it was, he was letting you know Rodney has shortcomings, but it's my job to still get the most out of it. Let me tell you a short story. Wayne Embry one time came to me when I was doing Cavs television, the great Wayne Embry. He was the first black general manager in our sport and president of an NBA team. And he used to always sit his fat body next to me. You know, there's no room because he's big enough to take 2 seats on a bus. So he squinches in on the bus. He's got this big overcoat on, and he says, and he's swearing, and he says, I said, what's wrong, Wayne? That damn Lenny. Because what had happened, Gerald Wilkins had went off on Lenny, swearing, cussing, everything about his playing time. And Wayne sat there. He said, yeah, and I told him, he's telling me, I got to trade Gerald, I got to get rid of him. And I said, well, what did you say, Wayne? I said, make it work. You see where I'm going with this?
Sure.
These guys make so much money that in spite of their shortcomings, you have to make it work. And how do you make it work? You have to sell yourself, not as a coach, because anybody can coach, mm-hmm. but as a teacher. And what does a teacher do? They show you the benefits of a certain behavior, of a certain way to think, or an attitude that you need to have. And that's what this game has turned into. More than ever now, you have got to teach young players. You have to teach these kids how to play. Our fans see it. They see our shortcomings. We can't hide that. There's no need us lying about that. Tell the truth. The fans can live with it. Most fans, all they want you to do is be competitive, because the NBA now offers some of the best food, the most luxurious seats, the most in-between timeout entertainment. So it's a happening. It's not just a game. Mm-hmm. You know, there's benefits to going to a game. You know, there's a certain status going to an NBA game and sitting on a lower level or going to a suite. You see where I'm going with yeah. this? You know, you got to give them more than just wins and losses, even though that's the denominator. Mm-hmm. And fans appreciate that. When they see young kids play as hard as our kids played last night and with the enthusiasm, and they can see how they have, oh, man, we got a future, because we haven't had that in a while.
Yeah. No, I think that brings up a great point, because there's something to see the greats take the court and do what they do. Everyone loved watching Jordan and all, but there's something special about what Utah was able to accomplish last year,
yes.
making it into the postseason as well, more so as sort of a team in that aspect.
Yes, you're exactly right. Exactly right.
And then, Jim, you mentioned, I mean, it's more important as coaches now, more important for coaches to not just be coaches but teachers as well. How much of that has to do because of the youth kind of coming into the league and these one-and-done guys?
Yeah, I think that's where we're going, you know, because now we're going to be taking 18-year-olds. You know, they're in collective bargaining or in a negotiated position right now between Players Association and the league. They're trying to figure this thing out because the NCAA refuses to give in. They refuse to give in. So what they've done is they told the NBA, hey, you work it out with these one-and-dones. And that's where we are right now. So Silver has said that we're going to try to take 18-year-olds, pay them, and this is all just new stuff. You know, it may end up being $300,000 or $400,000, but they're going to end up paying what they consider 18-year-olds that are elite, at least $125,000. So, but they're going to need teachers. They're going to need teachers. They're going to need people to show them the value and the opportunity and the gift of being in the NBA. They don't, because there's a law in this country called the Sherman Antitrust Law. It was the motivating factor why I left Marquette at 19. And it's called that anyone in this country should be able to pursue what they call, quote-unquote, gainful employment. That is a right of this country. That's why everybody wants to come here, because it's a right in this country that you can pursue an occupation, you know, if you so want to do that. You know, and that is under the Sherman Antitrust Law. I'm not making this stuff up. It's an old law. You just got to go back and look it up. And that was me for leaving. My father had died. My mother was making salad at this great Italian restaurant. There's five of us, you know, roaches and rats, no screens on the doors. We had nothing but ourselves and our spirit and our heart. But that allowed me, you know, to pursue an NBA career or a professional basketball career, because I went to the ABA. But not to get off the subject, is that the game has changed. This is a different profile now. They're looking for kids that can run up and down the floor, kids that can play physically tough, kids that can pass, dribble, and make the right decisions and can create for themselves but also create for someone else. And you got to be able to hit the three-point line. So what's the most dynamic change in our game? The three-point shot. Right.
Sure.
It's a possession and a half. Because before that, everything was 2 points, right?
Yeah.
Now it's 3 points. It's a possession and a half. When they first shot it, they were shooting 25%. You know, we have, if you look in our stats, in the league stats, they have a listing of 25 of the top three-point shooters, field goal percentage guys. Do you know the top 25? And for the last 3 years, have all shot over 40% from three-point range. Can you imagine that? Simple math, right? You take 10 shots of two-pointers, and what's a good figure? 50%, if you make 50% of your shots from two-point range and you shoot 10, you know, that's 10 points. That's right, 10 points. But look, if you make 50% of your three-pointers, that's 15 points. Mm-hmm. You see where I'm going with this?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you save a possession. You save a possession by shooting a three. So what's the best way to shoot threes? In space. So how do you shoot in space? Ball movement, player movement, pick up the pace, you know, and transition early in the clock before the defense can get set and rotate and help. Why? Because a contested shot drops your field goal percentage down by 20%. Yes. So ball movement, player movement, shooting early in the clock in space, you have an advantage. That's the new profile. That's how the game has changed, man.
Yeah, no question. Well, you mentioned it yesterday during the pregame show. Look, three-pointers can be deadly if they're not contested in any way, shape, or form. So you're right. The game has absolutely, positively changed. There's no question about that. Well, Jim, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for jumping on and joining us. And hopefully you'll have another victory to call tomorrow when the Cavaliers take on the Denver Nuggets. Though that's a tough matchup. Nuggets come in at 5-1. So that'll be a very entertaining ball game down at Quicken Loans Arena. Jim, thank you as always for the time.
You're welcome.
All righty. Jim Jones with the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
lots of great knowledge there.
That was a great outlook from him. I know we kind of maybe slid off tag Cavs talk there, but that's a great perspective from a guy who played in the NBA, who's still in relation to the NBA, watching the games on a nightly basis to kind of understand how the game's changing and how the role of the coach is changing in NBA basketball.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of relatable material there talking about how, you know, anybody can coach, but you have to be able to teach as well. I think his example with Greg Popovich was a great one there as well.
Sure.
Well, we've made you wait long enough. We are giving away tickets to the November 7th Cleveland Cavaliers game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're giving away four tickets plus a parking pass as well. And it comes your way courtesy of your locally owned and operated North Ridgeville convenience Sunoco at Center Ridge and Barton Roads. They're open every day of the year. And in order to win these tickets, and look, this is a fantastic matchup. How many times do you get the chance to see one of the best players in the game and Russell Westbrook come to Quicken Loans Arena? Once a season.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it. So take advantage of this opportunity. You got to be quick with your fingers, though. Call 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930 to win those tickets. Let's take a break. We'll come back for the final 90 minutes right after this.
Fixing food for a crowd is easy if you're one of those TV chefs, maybe. Go to your North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco.